Coming up on Game Time, we have some great performances across the state. We'll fill you in on this week's Game Changers. Then, we uncover the sleepers across the state that maybe aren't getting enough pub. Plus, as always, a deep dive into the top tilts coming up on Friday. All coming up on Game Time.
And welcome back to another week of Game Time here on SDPB. I'm Nate Weck, sports content producer at SDPB, joined by Jason Andera, producer at SDPB, producer of Game Time, high school guru, a few different titles there.
I don't know if you can go there, but that's all good. I mean, hey, there's worse things I've been called, that's for sure.
Well, you know, all seven classes of SDHSAA football are now underway. All nations, both classes of that now are underway as well. So football season very much is go, go, go now here in South Dakota. Great time of year. We've always talked about that. But, you know, every week we like to do this. We like to go through and talk about some of the top performers that we saw this last week. What are some names, I guess, Jandy, that kind of jump off the box score at a quick glance?
Yeah, like you said, every week your jaw just starts to drop a little bit like, whoa, they did that? Yeah, and there was a few of those. Here's a look at our list this week. And let's talk about Gannon Knable out of Wagner. This guy continues to do it. A nice win over Winner. Some people were surprised by that, but his performance was really good. 11 of 17, 183 yards, two touchdowns, and then he ran for three more touchdowns on 170 yards. Good win for the Red Raiders.
Yeah, and you mentioned this last week. You said, look out for Wagner. And, you know, maybe some people were like, I don't know if this is going to happen, but Wagner, I mean, they are absolutely a team to take seriously.
They're legit. They're going to have to work to get into that elite category. But they're definitely a really good team, and they had to feel good taking out the number one team in 11B. Let's also talk about Lucas Pesky of Iroquois Lake Preston. Anytime you run for 303 yards, you're going to make the top performers Game Changers list. He did that with three touchdowns. Congratulations to him and Iroquois Lake Preston. And Brody Schaefer out of Lincoln. How about this? Seven completions, all in the first half, by the way. In a half. Seven completions, seven scores. You don't even do that in Madden, do you?
No, this is like playground type of numbers when you think of the days playing football at recess. You know, those types of numbers. And then you look over, too, at one of his top targets in Mikey Roach. Four catches, 140 yards, and four touchdowns. Randy Moss type performance when you think of some of the games that he had. So, I mean, some massive, you can just see it, like there were some big time chunk plays that happened in that game, and it really allowed Lincoln to kind of get away, you know, the game got away from Stevens pretty early.
And I can hear you saying, oh, they played Rapid City Stevens. Well, this offense has almost everybody back. They're electric. They are really clicking with Brody Schaefer. I think they're going to do this to a lot of teams in 11AAA this year. And it was just the Raiders that happened to be on the other side of that one. So, yeah, congrats to the Lincoln offense as they get ready for their President's Bowl game. How about Isaiah Ulmer out of Scotland Menno? A little bit of an upset over who was ranked at the time, Corsica Stickney, a 44-30 win, and he did it with his arm and with his legs. Five touchdowns through the air. That's got to feel good for the Trappers to get a nice win like that, especially throwing the ball.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, you look at, you know, 15 of 24, even the completion percentage is pretty darn good with that type of a performance. So it's not even just, you know, like the chunk plays like we just talked about with, you know, with Brody, but this is an offense and a team that showed some efficiency as well, which is a big key.
Just a reminder out there, this top performers list, this Game Changers list isn't complete unless you guys contribute. I appreciate every week for you letting me know on Twitter or on Instagram, or you can email me at jason.andera@sdpb.org and let me know who some of the stars in the week were, because we get a lot of the stats sent to us, but we don't get all of them. So it's great to hear from you all to make sure we get a complete list every week.
Oh, absolutely. This is the people show, right?
This is the people show for
everybody. And yeah, we're all in this together. So that's what makes South Dakota great. And that's what makes this show great too. So, and real quick here too, just to talk about a couple of the things coming up, because we do have one announcement that we would first like to start out making is starting next week, Game Time will also be airing live on SDPB every Wednesday at 10 p.m. Central. 9 Mountain on SDPB1. This is a big deal, right? Absolutely, we're super pumped about this, super stoked.
Yeah.
It's still going to be on YouTube every single week. It'll drop Wednesday morning. But then for those of you that would also maybe like to watch it on television, you're going to have the opportunity to do that every week. And we're going to proceed through the football season and also through basketball season with this show. So
I've done a football show for several years, whether back when I was on Midco Sports and with 605 Sports, and it continues to grow every year. And the numbers that you guys are out there watching it helped us push this onto TV as well. So we're going to get out to as many people as possible. Tell your friends to tune in to Game Time on TV or on YouTube next week.
Another program real quick that we'd like to talk to you about that's coming up, put it on those calendars, set those DVRs. It's going to be Tales from the Diamond, airing on Thursday, September 11th, 8:30 p.m. Central, 7:30 Mountain. It'll air right after Dakota Light from Clear Lake. And Tales from the Diamond, few different stories will be told in that show. A lot of it will be taking place in the community of Milbank, which celebrated its 100th birthday of being the birthplace of American Legion baseball. So that's a big deal, but there's a trip to Castlewood in there. There's a nice little softball story in there as well, and a trip to Beersford. So check out some of these other fields and stuff like that too. So it's going to be a pretty good show with a lot of different perspectives of the baseball softball landscape here in South Dakota.
Love watching those types of shows. Nate, you put a lot of personal time into that. I can't wait to see how that all comes together on September 11th.
All right. Well, getting back to the action, I guess we wanted to talk this week about some of the teams, Jandy, that maybe haven't been getting as much publicity as of late.
Yeah. So
maybe some teams that are right now maybe sneaking under the radar that maybe we should have our eye on. So I guess let's just kind of jump into that.
That happens every year, by the way. Like, you get the ranking, the preseason rankings out before teams have even played, and there's some teams that are like, hey, what about us? And so we'd like to give them a little bit of a pub here as we launch into a new season. And there's plenty of teams out there that, are outside the rankings that still have a big run left in them.
Oh, absolutely. And it's obviously going to be impossible to kind of hit all of them, but we just wanted to go through a few of the schools with you. Starting with 9B, Kadoka area, they had a bye first week, and then they came back this week for their season opener, and they picked up a win over Lyman.
And that's a good win, because that's going a couple classes up for them. And the 9B schools, they're small schools, and Kadoka area knows that. They have to have everybody healthy to make things click. Last year won 6 games. They've always been around that mark. They've got a really tough stretch ahead of them, though. Wall, Bennett County, Phillip. We'll see how real they are, because those are games and teams bigger than they are. If they can hang with them even, then they might cause some problems in the 9B playoffs, even if they do have 3 or 4 losses on the season. I think they're a contender.
Yeah, absolutely. You said it perfectly. We're going to find out a lot about what Kadoka area is all about here in these next 2-3 games.
Yeah,
and it'll be fun to kind of see how it all plans out, because we talk about these things, right? But it's always fun when we finally get to see how things shake out too.
Exactly. And this Kadoka area team, they can run, they can pass a little bit. Carson Eisenbraun is still developing as a passer. I think he could be a huge, huge focal point for them if they were able to take that next step and throw the ball a little bit more. But we all know Cole Herman, their running back, is one of the best in the state, and they rely on him heavily. And then they've gotten some real contributions on the defensive side from some of the younger players, including their sophomore Dalton Grimes, who right now leads the team in tackles as a sophomore. So I think this Kadoka area team has a lot going for them this year.
Looking at Ipswich, now another team that we could say is maybe going under the radar so far. Last season, went 7-3, and they're off to a nice 2-0 start.
A really nice 2-0 start. Last week with a win over Falkton area, a highly ranked 9B team, and they came out and won 34-30, a back-and-forth game. A year ago, they struggled against Falkton area, so they showed what improvement they had. Now they've got Warner right in front of them, so again, these teams might be under the radar now, but the tests start to get real really quick for them. They've got a sophomore playing quarterback right now named Hayden Schlosser. He had a big week last week, but a lot of those passes were quick dump-off passes, and Kyle Hedick, their senior receiver, turned them upfield, both of those guys on the top performers list, because they put up some big numbers against Falkton area. I want to continue to see if they can put up some of those big numbers as the year goes on.
9AA, Bennett County. Last year, started two. They won their first two games, yeah. I believe, and then they went 2-6, I believe. This year, 2-0 again, and we'll see kind of what, you know, you talked about that Kadoka area is going to be a team that Bennett County is going to have to face here in the near future as well. So Bennett County, what do you like about them?
Well, you compare what they've done this year to last year, and you can already see some improvement. Caden Soderline has been an absolute monster this year. And then Rush O'Neill, another player on the outside that they can depend on for some big plays. But I think they have more depth on this team than they had last year as far as who they can count on up front. That's going to make them contend with some of these teams that they really struggled with down the stretch last year. And again, the record, I don't know what the record's going to look like at the end of the year, but how do they compete? I think they're going to be able to compete with some of these bigger teams here coming up in the next few weeks.
Absolutely. 11B, we've got teams like, we've talked about Winter and Wagner, the big battle that they had last week, which saw Wagner get the victory, which is a big deal for that Wagner community. People always talk about St. Thomas More, they talk about Sioux Valley, but Mobridge Pollock.
Yeah.
What about them?
You know, this is a team that has started freshmen and sophomores mostly the last couple of years. And now those guys, juniors, a couple more seniors than they've had. They're working in a brand new quarterback this year, but they have Mac Saxon, a guy who ran for almost 200 yards in his initial game so far this year. And he is going to be a load to bring down. They beat Groton, who I thought Groton was going to be a huge test for them, and they won 29-8 last week, so that was huge. And now Donovan Flaherty in his third year, I think he's got what he wants with this team as far as a direction laid down, as far as people getting in the weight room. And I think there's a chance that Mobridge Pollock, I mean, they've got their hands full this week too, playing a team in Miller, Highmore Herald, who got a nice win last week against Hot Springs. So now all of a sudden you've got a battle of undefeated teams between Mobridge Pollock and Miller, that could be a possibly decent game here. Maybe two under the radar teams going at it on Friday.
Well, and I like the name you mentioned, Mac Saxon.
Yeah.
Really special kid, right? I mean,
I think so.
What are the coaches saying about this kid?
Well, he never quits. He works hard. He's just a junior. His first carry of the season was a 26-yard touchdown this year, and you're going to see a lot of that. I mean, he's got good blocking too, but he doesn't necessarily need that kind of blocking. And the coaches are like, you know what? You better be ready if he's coming at you. He's like his name, a Mack truck coming right at you. And you want to gang tackle this guy, a one-on-one tackle. I don't like my chances going against a guy like Saxon. And I'm going to have a chance to actually catch up with him this week. I'm going to go up to Mobridge for a game on Friday. So let me know if you're out there at the Miller-Mobridge game. I'd love to say hi.
Mobridge is beautiful. I love it up there.
Yeah.
It's a gorgeous place. So
can't wait.
11A, you know, we talk a lot about the Sioux Falls Christians and the Del Rapids and stuff like that. We did briefly mention Canton last week, very briefly, and then they had to open the year against Rapid City Christian, road game. And, you know, it was just one of those things where we weren't quite sure, you know, what is Canton going to look like? What is Rapid City Christian going to look like? And it just seemed from start to finish, Canton was just the better team that night.
They were, and they got on the board quickly, and we knew they'd have good running backs. They always have a good running game. But Aiden Tremp, he really piled it on last week. He ran the ball for over 100 yards against Rapid City Christian. They built up a nice lead before, you know, Rapid City Christian got on the board, and then at the end of the game, it kind of evened out. It looked like more on both sides of the ball, but you know, Canton just had four wins last season, uncharacteristic for them, and they came into the season with high hopes, but they didn't have enough depth and they had a lot of injuries to deal with. This year they feel much better, 8 starters back on defense, but again, they're a little thin up front. We'll see if that line can get them there, but I like the skill position players on this team.
Yeah, and one thing with Canton, and I guess all of the teams in 11A, they're trying to work their way up. You know, once the meat of the schedule hits too, they're going to be pretty battle-tested.
Yep.
Sort of like what we talked about with Kadoka, where we're going to find out pretty soon with Canton, once they get into some of these conference games, we're really going to find out what they have in some of these young pieces.
Exactly. And before the season, I try to contact as many coaches as I can. Rich Lundstrom said he's cautiously optimistic. And, you know, in some years, They get maybe a little bit too much pub and they are down. And this year, I think they're not getting quite enough pub. I think this is a team that could cause some problems come 11A playoffs.
11AA. Let's look at Sturgis. You know, everybody's going to talk about Pierre, Yankton, some of these teams. But Sturgis, man, let's talk about them.
Exactly. The Sturgis team is one team. You know, we talked about all these other teams getting number one votes from different coaches. Sturgis wasn't a team getting any number one votes. But what they've done in the weight room with Chris Kaletsky has been noticed so far on the field this year. Again, just 3 wins last year. But they come out and they beat a highly ranked Brookings team 26-21, and they did it with defense. They played great defense to start that game and matched what we thought was going to be a great defense from Brookings and found a way to score. The skill position players for Chris Kaletsky have been awesome. In fact, he said, you know, he's going to use some more 21-31 personnel groups to get all two or three of his backs on the field at the same time because he feels like he's got so many guys who can make plays back there. Jackson Kano has earned the starting job at quarterback, and he looked the part in game one against Brookings, did a great job. And I think it's really going to pay some dividends this year to see the work that they've put in the offseason.
Yeah, and that's an exciting thing for West River when teams like Spearfish, Sturgis, yeah. You know, Hot Springs has had some good teams, you know, when you start Wall. I mean, yeah. When you start to see some of these teams that are being able to figure it out and find ways to have success, I mean, in my opinion, that's great for the whole state when you have solid programs that you're starting to see St. Thomas More, yeah. Right, on the west side of the state. You're starting to see these programs that are popping up where we have to take them seriously.
And Wall and up and down, there's teams that can play in West River, that's for sure. But in 11AA, the interesting thing is you come up to this week's schedule, and usually in week two, you'll find a battle of 1-0 teams playing each other. There's none because everybody, you know, everybody who you thought might win, Brookings took a loss. Spearfish took a loss in week one. Yankton struggled with Huron but found a way to get the win. There was a lot of even games. Even Pierre struggled to beat Aberdeen Central right off the bat. So 11AA, it's really hard to call anybody an under-the-radar team. But right now, I've got my eye on Sturgis as a team that, you know, has a chance to battle into the rankings.
Well, we'll all keep our eye on the Scoopers and see what they can do here in the next few weeks to see if they stay under the radar or maybe they pop way above the radar.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
11AAA, O'Gorman. Yeah. This is a team that went 5-5 last year. You know,
had the player of the year in Sully Schlimgen, right, and lost him.
Yeah, right. It's and then there's so much other conversation that happens in 11AAA when you see what Sioux Falls Lincoln did to Stevens, but O'Gorman, man, like there might be something there.
We forget, like, school size wise, they're more, you know, like a Pierre or like a Yankton size school. They could easily be in, they petition up to play in 11AAA. So this is a team that struggles to find enough linemen every year and enough depth. But this year, 26 seniors, the most seniors that O'Gorman has had since Jason Papanga has been there in his decade at O'Gorman. And I'll tell you what, the depth is evident because they were able to last with a team that has the most depth in 11AAA in Harrisburg. They get the most kids out. And found a way in the fourth quarter to not only come back, but to seal it with a nice interception and win the game on the road. They kind of felt like they stole one, but I think they might be stealing a few games from ranked teams this year because O'Gorman's got some pieces. Chase Hermanson at quarterback, you know, when Papanga has a quarterback that can throw, he loves to air it out, and I think Chase Hermanson has a chance to air it out this year. Isaac Myers did a great job. They've got a lot of Gavin Hamrick, a future college player, on this roster. I think they have some real opportunities to continue to upset some teams here in 11AAA this year.
Switching gears, let's go to the top tilts for the week. O'Gorman at Lincoln.
Yeah, so the President's Bowl is this year extended to, they invited O'Gorman and Harrisburg to the President's Bowl. So O'Gorman against Lincoln to start things off, and then Harrisburg takes on Washington after that, and then Jefferson and Roosevelt to finish out the night. And, you know, I think all three of those games have a chance to be decent, but this O'Gorman-Lincoln game, to me, I feel like that's the game we need to tune in on because we'll see just how good this O'Gorman team is, and we'll get a real test for this Lincoln defense because defensively they didn't return any starters from last year. They did fine. They did well against Stevens, but let's see how they do against a little bit more dynamic offense in what Jason Papanga presents. This could be the game of the week to watch in 11-man football.
Hermanson versus Schaefer.
Yeah, you got a couple of really good talents at quarterback. Schaefer, obviously. I mean, he's different than anybody else in 11AAA right now, and I think Hermanson has a way to go prove that. But I think he can hang with them. We'll see. That'll be the first one out at the at Howard Wood Field on Saturday for the President's Bowl.
And then you said Harrisburg at Harrisburg, Washington is part of that as well. And then Madison at Del Rapids. Yeah. This is a big one too.
Yeah, let's talk about Madison a little bit. Last week, Henry Veenhoff started at quarterback for the first time for Madison. He looked really good. Passing it to Shane Veenhoff, another guy who's a Division I recruit. Those guys are going to be dynamic this year, and they've been building for the last couple of years under Coach Bundy, and now I really feel like they have a chance to make it even maybe to the Dome this year. They're that good. They're solid up front. They've got the skill players and Shane Veenhoff and now Henry Veenhoff to add to that. That's going to be tough, but another team I really like in this class is Del Rapids.
Right.
And you got to love what they bring in their front seven on both sides of the ball. And they don't have some of the names that they've had in the past in the backfield that are going to be, you know, torching it up. But they're going to do more shared carries in the backfield. And they're not going to throw the ball all over the place. But they are so solid up front. Love what Derek Genslinger is doing over at Del Rapids. He's got their team playing really well. So this Madison-Del Rapids game could easily also be the game of the week in 11-man football.
You know, another team that we talked about that has really been starting to do some good things, Elkton Lake Benton.
Oh.
And they've got a big one this week coming up against Marion Freeman Academy.
Well, anytime anybody asks me, like, what team do you see making the biggest jump this year in 9-man football, I keep saying Marion Freeman Academy because they've got some guys back, and their younger players that are coming up are really good. That sophomore class is really good. But their quarterback, Riley Cheddar, he has, you know, coming back off of an injury last year, he looks like he is totally 100% back. He is flying off the first 2 weeks, playing really good ball. And the challenge is this week against Elkton Lake Benton, because last week Elkton Lake Benton took on Vibert Hurley. I was at the game. I thought this was possibly a Dome preview. And after watching Elkton Lake Benton, I'm like, I don't know if anybody can play with them. Their defense was so good, Nate. Like, I expected Colt Beck to be untackleable. I did not expect their defense to really shut down what I thought was a good Vibert Hurley offense. That defense is really good. So we've got a really good offense in Freeman. We've got a really good defense and a good offense in Elkton Lake Benton. This one's going to be excellent. And it's going to tell me just how good Freeman could be this year.
Defense wins championships, they say, right? So
yeah.
It's a good pedigree to have when you're getting things flowing in a season to have a stifling defense.
And they do. They're not only like playmakers on defense, they just tackle really well. And in 9-man football, you know, you're going against some speed. Like, mm-hmm. Vibert Hurley has speed, and they're able to shrink the field down with guys who can cover sideline to sideline. So, yeah, props to the Elkton Lake Benton Elks. They looked really good last week.
And then you got Platte Geddes that's going to be going to Gregory for a showdown as well. We really haven't talked too much about Gregory yet.
Well, either team, we haven't too much, but at all about Gregory. And they've come out and they looked a little better than I thought they would. I mean, just a couple of years ago, they were the championship team in 9A. And now last year, we're down a little bit. But I think they're reloaded this year. I think they're a team that can throw the ball a little bit along with power people up front. But I also really like this Platte Geddes team. Again, a team that started a lot of sophomore and freshmen over the last couple of years that are starting to get better. Jai Bailey, their quarterback, he's one of the most dynamic talents in 9-man football. So, got to love both these two teams. And again, the winner of this one's going to tell us, you know, a lot of confidence going forward for whoever gets the best end of this one.
We talked a little bit about Ipswich during the outstanding performers section of the show, and they've got a big one this week as Warner comes to town. And, you know, we've talked about Warner of like what they can do and that they're going to be well coached. But what do you like about this Warner at Ipswich battle?
Well, Warner is so well coached, you know, like you said. I mean, they've got backs that can get it done. Josiah Baum has been good. Chase Mansfield, the guys that can run the ball. And they've always had big dudes up front too. This year, I think the strength is those skill position players. So I like Warner in this one, but they're playing a different Ipswich team than they did last year. This Ipswich team has really improved, and they showed it last week with the ability to throw the ball and Kyle Hedick's ability to take a short pass and take it downfield. So again, we talk about defense wins championships. I think whatever team defensively is able to contain the big playmakers in this one has a chance. And I think both these two teams, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see either of these two teams win.
We talked about Wall. We've talked about Kadoka and how the schedule is going to ramp up for Kadoka. And it's a big one with Kadoka and Wall clashing off this week.
Yeah.
And we're going to find out a lot about maybe both teams.
I mean, Wall last week absolutely took it to Harding County, and Harding County was a top five team. So Kadoka knows they're in for the real deal. And this Wall team is the real deal. This is Tanner Vollmer and Dawson Hancock are one of the best combinations in nine-man football we have this year. They're going to be electric. Kadoka will have their hands full. Again, if Kadoka can play with them and just not let them score on these two and three play drives, that's a success for me in this one. So we got this as one of the top tilts, but Wall is the definite favorite in this one.
And it's a beautiful field that they have in Wall. Right there off of I-90. They got the rodeo grounds that's just to the east of it. I mean, it is a gorgeous field.
And they've really taken their game up a notch as far as just being proud to be from Wall and playing football at Wall. These are players that really love to go out on Friday nights and knock some heads.
Yeah, absolutely. And then our final one, Arlington versus St. Mary's.
Yeah, Arlington got a win over Wilmot. They've started the season off right, and that's another 9B team. Like, they haven't lost yet. St. Mary's, though, I think is going to be playing on a different level. They weren't challenged last week. Lincoln LeBrun, you know, he carried it, I think, four or five times and scored all but one time. So this will be a little bit more of a challenge this week against Arlington, but this St. Mary's team, they're one of those teams in 9B that I'm really looking forward to seeing when they get a top five tilt. And Arlington, this is your chance to kind of get on the board and see what you can do against a really good 9B team.
The 11-man game of the week. You had to pick through them all.
Yeah.
I know you probably mentioned it already, but what's your 11-man game of the week?
I think I really am curious to see what happens in this O'Gorman-Lincoln game just because I want to see if Lincoln's defense is real or not. And they'll get a test with O'Gorman this week. I really like that Madison-Del Rapids game as well. I think that's going to be a dynamite one. But those are really the two 11-man games I'm really got my eyes set on.
And it's the President's Bowl. It's one of the iconic high school football events in Sioux Falls every year. It's always a great festival, I guess you could call
it
of football.
Celebration of football. They raise a lot of money for the Sioux Falls School District. And this year extended to three games, so you can just plant your seat out there and hopefully the weather's good and take in three really good games.
What's your nine-man game of the week?
I said this. I don't know if Warner or Ipswich is better. And to me, I really want to see which of those teams is ready to take that next step. And if Ipswich gets a win here, let's start getting them some votes in the poll because this is a tough Warner team. It'll be a big battle.
All right. Well, that's kind of been the rundown for the week.
Yep, we did it.
We're going to be locked in and ready to watch another week of football and see what shakes out and see if we still have a few undefeated teams here, which we should have a few.
There'll be a few. We'll talk about some of those undefeated teams here in a couple of weeks. And let us know if there's anything you guys want to sound off on. You know, again, write me an email, a note on social media. We'd love to include you guys in the show as well.
All right, and just a reminder as well, starting next week on Wednesday, September 10th, this SDPB Game Time show will be going to television.
Yeah.
It'll be on at 10 o'clock Central, 9 Mountain on SDPB1 TV. And again, we're super excited about that. It's because of, you know, you guys tuning in and watching us that the push has been made to get this on television as well. So we're super pumped about that. It's still going to live in the podcast world, still going to be on YouTube as well. This is just another elevation of the Game Time show and kind of what it represents.
Love it. Love talking football, and love talking football with you, Nate.
All right, well, likewise, Jandy. Well, I'm Nate Weck. This is Jason Andera, and this has been Game Time on SDPB.